If you'll open in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading from the Message version today, so it might look a little different than yours. Starting in verse 20. But you belong. The Holy One anointed you, and you all know it. I haven't been writing this to tell you something you don't know, but to confirm the truth you do know, and to remind you that the truth doesn't breed lies. So who is lying here? It's the person who denies that Jesus is the divine Christ. That's who. This is what makes an antichrist: denying the Father, denying the Son. No one who denies the Son has any part with the Father, but affirming the Son is an embrace of the Father as well. Stay with what you heard from the beginning, the original message. Let it sink into your life. If what you heard from the beginning lives deeply in you, you will live deeply in both Son and Father. This is exactly what Christ promised: eternal life, real life. I've written to warn you about those who are trying to deceive you, but they're no match for what is embedded deeply within you: Christ anointing, no less. You don't need any of their so-called teaching. Christ anointing teaches you the truth on everything you need to know about yourself and Him, uncontaminated by a single lie. Live deeply in what you were taught. And now, children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for Him when He appears, ready to receive Him with open arms. No cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when He arrives. Would you pray with me? Now, living, breathing, moving God, as we turn to Your Word, we ask that Your living, breathing, moving Spirit would bring these words to life in us. Would You help us hear what it is You want us to hear? So You might help us be who it is You want us to be. So You might help us do what it is You want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, if you were here, you joined us for Pentecost Sunday. And I shared the story that day about when church was born, reflected for you guys on why I still believe that the church is still God's dream for His people. And then throughout the week, via the gift of Facebook post, many of you got to share your own words as well of why you're also still sticking to this thing called church. And so we spent 7 days giving thought together to that question of why church. And I think we got some pretty good answers. There's always more. And I want to spend the next few weeks asking together the follow-up question: okay, if we know why church, well then how church? How do we best honor God and how we do our life together right here in this particular church? Just a fun exercise this morning to get us thinking. If you were going to try to describe what is essential for making up a church in as few descriptors as possible, how many you think you could get it down to? What are the absolute essentials for how church must happen? Try to kind of think through your head. Try to make a list of things that you know have to be there and things you're like, meh. Donuts for dads is awesome, but we could have church without it. What you got? What are you thinking? What things have to be a part of church if we're going to call it church? A pastor? Okay. But whoa, I'm hearing a lot of Jesus overriding pastor. No, pastor's good, but think, there are many churches that gather in a small home and the discussion is shared around the group. Food. We Baptists like food, right? Family, okay. I heard Jesus. Scripture, okay. Holy Spirit. Love, I like it. I know some churches where there's not much love, but we could call it church or not. Singing has to be part of church. There's no church without singing. All right, interesting, you guys. All right, we'll keep working on our list. You guys shouted out a really important thing. I bet that gave it away. But if you didn't cheat, congratulations. Jesus is most certainly an essential of church. But we're going to look at different essentials here over the next few weeks and see how we are doing in our life together. How are we doing as church? 1 John is a great place to delve into this question of how. How do we do this? It's the first of three letters written by John. This is the same John that was the disciple of Jesus, the son of Zebedee, the author of the Gospel John. Likely he's writing from Ephesus in this letter, and likely to the same seven churches that you see him write to in Revelation. And so this is a word not just for one little church and their one little problems. This is a word for a group of churches and their diverse context, their diverse problems on how they can do church together. It's a word that helped them way back then, and it is a word that still guides us today. And if you begin to look at 1 John, you will quickly see that John begins and ends his letter with the exact same focus. Standing firm in Jesus Christ our Lord. In today's installment of How Church, no matter what we do, no matter how we do it, it's all got to be about Jesus. Always, only about Jesus. You can have a club in town where people gather together and encourage each other, but if they're not there to honor Jesus, don't call it a church. And you can have an organization that goes out and does good work for the needy, but if they're not doing it in the name of Jesus, it's not church. We gather in this place and we serve from this place, but not just for the sake of meeting friends and not just for the sake of doing good work. We participate in church and all the arms of church because all of this is our feeble attempt to point to Jesus. How we do church must always, only, ever be founded in lifting high the name of Jesus Christ. He is why we're here. He is what this is for. It is only ever about Jesus. So if on your little list of things going through your mind of what makes up a church, what's essential, if you didn't think of Jesus, it's okay. It's not too late to add him back to the top. Put him on the top, circle it, put arrows around him. Jesus is the very top of the list. How do we do church together? How church? Any way that makes Jesus the center. That makes Jesus the show, that makes Jesus the purpose, that makes Jesus the audience of one, that makes Jesus everything. That's how church. John breaks this down there in chapter 2 of 1 John, specific ways that we honor Jesus and how we do church together. One way we honor Jesus in our life together, we embrace who belongs at Jesus' table. John comforts the churches and their disappointment over folks who have left the faith for other teachings. And he says to them, he says, I know your hearts are heavy, but don't take it personally. They were never really into Jesus in the first place. He says, but you all, you belong. The Holy Spirit has anointed and called you to himself. You believe Jesus is Lord of all. And because of that, John says, never doubt it. You belong in the church, in fellowship with the people of God. You belong. Just as desperately as folks needed to hear this word 2,000 years ago, some of us right here in this very room need to hear it anew this morning. So my friends, hear it. In Christ, you belong. Is there anyone among us who's a bit lonely? Is there anyone who, when you walked in this room today, you couldn't find a person to sit by who you knew you? Is there anyone who sometimes feels more isolated in a group of people than anywhere else? Is there anyone among us who always has felt a little bit on the outside? Never really a part of, always a part from. Is there anyone among us this morning who's been in this church for a very long time? And like these discouraged churches that John writes to, you could say, I've seen so many people that I loved come and go. And I don't even know half the faces that make up what used to feel like my church family anymore. Anyone fear a bit that perhaps you're losing your place? Fear reaching out to new folks in case they just leave too. Hear this word, brother, sister, neighbor, you belong. In the presence of Christ, in the gathering of the people of Christ, you belong. In the ways that we as your brothers and sisters haven't made that overwhelmingly clear to you every single time we gather, forgive us. Help us grow in trusting our own belonging in Christ so we can extend that same gift to you. The whole letter starts out with beautiful words from John. Those first verses of 1 John 1, John says that he's simply thrilled with all that he's seen Jesus do. And he says, we saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive in writing is this: we want you to enjoy this too. Words that can only be spoken by one who knows he belongs. He says, I've seen, I've heard from the one who changes everything for the good. I know that Jesus is mine and that I am his. And knowing that I belong, knowing that that cannot be shaken, I write this, you all, he says, so that you might get to belong too. John knew he belonged. And knowing he belonged, he longed for others to belong. When the church complains about too many new faces, we've forgotten that we belong. And there's always room in Jesus for the table to grow, for others to belong to. My friends, I can guarantee you this, in Jesus' world, their coming isn't gonna push you out. Because you belong to. So we can just make room for more. That's what Jesus has us to do. When someone walks in these doors and they see little huddles, old friends reconnecting, backs turned to them. When they walk downstairs to have lunch together and they see full tables, the same old people huddled together with no room for anyone else. What they're hearing is this: you don't belong. What we're saying is this: I'm not secure enough in my own belonging in Jesus to make room for you. It's the little things that speak volumes. How, church? According to John, embrace your belonging in Jesus and then make the table ever wider. Open the circle up, always ready for one more to come on in and be part of the group. When the four leaders for our youth center first started meeting months ago, I think it was our very first meeting, I asked this question to the room. I said, if BCC was to close its doors tomorrow, and if we ceased to exist, how long do you think it would take for our community to even know we were gone? Some said, well, maybe Wednesday lunch. And then what would they grieve in our absence? It was a question to consider, how are we being salt and light in this place? What moved my heart that night was multiple people in the room spoke up and said basically the same thing. They said, I don't really know what the community sees. They said, but my question would be, where would I go? They said, I tried so many churches in my life. And I've been hurt in church before. And I was convinced finally that there was just no place for me and my messy story or me and my crazy family. But then I found BCC. And it felt like a place for misfits just like me to belong. We laughed together and then we got a little teary because we realized that it is true. Church, on our best days, is Jesus' way of saying, all you misfits, that's you, by the way, and that's me too, come and belong. You've been chosen to be a part in my name, to belong. How, church? Just keep making more and more room for the misfits among us. Just keep striving to make space for all who wander in these doors to belong. Scooch over on your pew and save a seat for them. They're not going to bite, most of them. I can't promise it, but we can hope for it. In the name of Jesus, there is always room for them to belong. And it is on us to see that that happens. Because that's how church. John goes on. Still sticking with Jesus, verses 22 and 23. So who's lying here? It's the person who denies Jesus is the divine Christ. That's who. This is what makes an antichrist. Denying the Father, denying the Son. No one who denies the Son has any part with the Father. But affirming the Son is an embrace of the Father as well. What are we to prioritize in how we worship together? How, church? Affirm Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, and what he is most worthy of. We live in a world where folks strive endlessly to make a name for themselves. We hang our diplomas on our walls. We make social media posts and check incessantly to see how many people are liking it. We're in a world where sports figures have names like King James, and musicians get to be called idols. We live in a culture where more folks post about the president any given day than they do about the King of Kings. So how are we to do church? By unashamedly, unapologetically, lifting high the name of Jesus Christ every single chance we get. We proclaim again and again, week after week, hour after hour, who Jesus is. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the Word who was with God in the beginning, the Word who is God, the Good Shepherd, the Living Water, the Bread of Life, the Resurrection and the Life, the Gate for the Sheep, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God who was slain, the Rider on the White Horse, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting One, Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, that is God with us. Us, Son of God, Son of Man, the second Adam, the last Adam, the light of the world, the bright morning star, the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen anointed one, the only one worthy to open the scroll, our intercessor, seated at the right hand of God right now for us, the only way, the only truth, the only life. How, church? Affirm together, loud and clear, who Jesus is in every gathering, every chance we get, because we're dying to hear it again, and our world is dying to hear us proclaim it. And speak out loud again and again what this Jesus has done. He's healed the sick. He's exercised. exorcised the possessed. He's freed the captives. He's fed the hungry. He's embraced the lonely. He's lifted high the lowly. He has preached the good news, resurrected the dead, left his own tomb, defeating death. Lived in love and in purity, died with honor and obedience and integrity, raised with all the power of heaven in him, ascended into heaven, pouring that same power onto us. He's made a way for us to know our God and to love this God and to be with this God, this side of heaven and forevermore. By his wounds, we are healed. By his blood shed, abundant life is ours to have. By his grace, saints is our name. How, church? Testify to what Jesus has done in us and for us. How, church? Tell your story freely and boldly for all to hear. Your story of Jesus Christ in you, Jesus Christ for you, Jesus Christ with you. Proclaim his good deeds in your life, in small groups, in worship gatherings, around tables downstairs, via Facebook posts, while you're out there getting your hands dirty in mission. I don't care how you do it, just do it. Just find ways in our life together to proclaim his good deeds out loud. That's what makes this unique. That's what makes this a place of life, everlasting life. How, church? Affirm who Jesus is. Proclaim what Jesus has done. It's not just the pastor's job. That those words might consume our time together. That's how we'll know we're doing it right. How, church? Stay rooted in the words that tell of Jesus. Verse 24, stay with what you've heard from the beginning, the original message. Let it sink into your life. If what you heard from the beginning lives deeply in you, you will live deeply in both the Son and the Father. This is exactly what Christ promised, eternal life, real life. This here is the living Word. The same Spirit, get this, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave inspired the writing of these words. And inspires our hearing of them for the purpose of bringing us to life in Christ just the same. In our gatherings, the foundations of all of our teachings and our encouragements and our corrections should always be the Word of God. That all points to Jesus Christ, the Savior. There was a church back in Texas when I was there. It was this historic, big steeple Baptist church with this long, rich history of sending out missionaries and ordaining young Baylor graduates to full-time ministry. It was this church that had this huge sanctuary, this beautiful wraparound balcony. In its heyday, they would talk about how 2,000 to 3,000 people would be there any given Sunday, and that's before the day of megachurches. It's easy. When I was in Waco, this same church had just recently dipped down to about 200 members, desperately holding on to this rich legacy and this beautiful building. What happened? People were asking. A number of things, but folks I talked to about it, they all told a similar tale. They said, you know, the pastor that we had for like 15 years, he just kind of got tired one day, it seems. Just got tired of everything, but he really got tired of the good news. They said it all came to head one Easter Sunday. I think it was his last Easter Sunday. And they said his primary text that Easter Sunday wasn't John 21 or Luke 24 at all, but he brought up to the pulpit some article about living your best life taken from Time magazine. And bit by bit, the folks trickled out until 2,000 had become 200 or less. Why? Because the church isn't a book club. It's not where we come to read the newest, neatest idea and chat together about it over a good cup of coffee. No, church is a living, breathing organism of living, breathing human beings seeking to encounter a living, breathing God through a living, breathing word. 2,000 years later, we still come on Easter not to hear some newest idea about quality of life. We come on Easter to hear the old, old story that still makes us brand new today. The old, old story of a Savior who came from glory to give his life on Calvary and save a wretch like me. That's why I come on Easter, to hear that story. We come to remember the story that is still true, the story that will always be true. We come to hear the story that's still sufficient, that will always be sufficient, to hear the story that still breathes life and wisdom and guidance and hope into us. It's not the newest thing out there, no, but it's still and will always be the best, the most true story there is. The story of our Jesus. All of these words point to him. We come to this place over and over and over again to get regrounded in that story. How, church? Together, we commit to keep digging in, meditating upon, wrestling with, and falling in love with these words, this story. And the Jesus they reveal. Finally, John concludes with this. And now, children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Live deeply with Christ. Other translations say, abide with Christ. Make your home with Jesus. So when he appears, John says, you don't get embarrassed knowing he has to go out of his way to try to find you somewhere. He says, just be right at home with him. Be right where you just know Jesus shows up, where you know he already is. These words should take you back to John 15. These are the words we at BCC know well. It's on that t-shirt you wear every single week. 11 times in John 15, Jesus says to his disciples, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. Make your home with me. Live in real, intimate relationship with me. That is Jesus' heart for us. Not that he would just use you. He wants to live with you. We think of those people that we make our home with and how we can live unafraid in their presence. How we can be at rest and just being ourselves and them just being themselves. How we get to know them so well over time that the second they walk in the door, we know if it's been a good or a bad day. And we know if they're going to need some space or if they want to talk it out. These people we make our home with, we know what makes them laugh. And we know what breaks their heart. We can talk to them for hours without getting bored. Or we can just sit in the same room, no pressure to talk at all, and still feel loved. Jesus makes it clear. His heart is that we might live with him like that. And when our lives just keep us running and running, distracted and scattered, if nothing else, church serves as a home base, that place we keep coming back to, that place we come home to, as we live more deeply with our Jesus, week by week. Anne Lamott tells this story of a little girl from her church who was lost. She was like 6 or 7, and a police officer sees her walking around her San Francisco neighborhood and knowing that she's too young to be alone, he picks her up and just starts driving her around the neighborhood, hoping she'll recognize her house. He's not getting anything out of her. And then she said, all of a sudden, they passed her church. The little girl lit up and she said, that's my church. She said, you can drop me off here. And he said, well, do you see your house? She said, no, I don't see my house, but that's my church. She said, I can always find my way home from there. My friends, may it be so with us. Our home in the presence of Christ. Our aim to live with Him deeply. How, church? A home base each week. Something we can touch and feel and see and participate in to help us keep finding our home with Jesus again and again. Creating a place of belonging for all who call on Jesus. Lifting high the name of Jesus any chance we get. Remembering together the living words that point to Jesus. And gathering here to get what we need to live more deeply with Jesus out there. How, church? This is how we do it. We just keep it all, always, only, ever about Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this is all for you. This is all because of you. This is all because we need you. And this is all because in life together we find you. And so, Lord Jesus, would you help us walk through this summer season with eyes and hearts wide open to see the ways that we can lift high your name as a church family and as individuals. And anything among us that does not honor you, that is not about you, would you cleanse us of that? Purify us. And make our light shine bright as it points to you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.